Okay, yay. Turn to Acts chapter 9. I forget who sang it. Maybe it was Sly and the Family Stone. There was a song called Everyday People.
Yeah,
remember that? Well, I was thinking about different people in the Word, and, you know, we read about all these different people and how great they were and the things that they did. But then I thought about they really were just normal people, just like us. They were no different than we are. They had to overcome fear. They had to deal with crises. They had to deal with pressures. They had to live their lives. I read a quote, and I'm not going to give it to you exactly, but it said, to really see the strength of a sailor, you have to understand how he withstands the storm. And to understand the courage of a soldier, you have to see how he deals with the stress of the battlefield. But the everyday person, they have to deal with the pressures and the challenges of every day. And we all do. And sometimes they're greater and sometimes they're smaller. But, you know, how we deal with those things makes the difference in the quality of our life, right? One of the reasons that I certainly came to God's Word was because I had issues in my life that I didn't know how to deal with, except in the very wrong way. And so, you know, eventually I figured out, or didn't figure out, but I was taught and I learned and I adhered to the Word, which helped me deal with these situations. So the first one we're going to look at, the first kind of everyday kind of guy, is in chapter 9 of Acts, and it's Ananias. And what a great guy he was. And he lived in Damascus. And you know the story about how Saul, who was looking to persecute the church, and he was sent, or he got letters so that he could go to Damascus and arrest Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem for persecution and prosecution, I guess. And on the road, Jesus Christ appears to him and calls him, and he goes blind. And then in verse 10, it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias," not to be confused with the other Ananias in chapter 5, who was not such a good disciple or believer. He was just the opposite. But this Ananias was a certain disciple. Means he was just a nice guy. And he was a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And Lord here, as we read on in the context, is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ comes in a vision and talks to Ananias. I mean, I'm sure he didn't quite expect this or wasn't looking for it, but, you know, he was the guy. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight," because he had gone blind when he was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus Christ appeared to him and it was a bright light and he went blind. So he's there in the house of this guy named Judas, right? And so God, or Jesus Christ, already tells Ananias, he's expecting you to show up. I've already told him a guy named Ananias is coming. So then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." So Ananias wasn't really thrilled with this, right? Because Paul had a reputation. And he knew why he was in Damascus, to put people in jail and to hurt them and all that kind of stuff. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. And for him to call him Brother Saul meant he was born again. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. We can go to chapter 22 of Acts, because we learn a little bit more about this man, Ananias. But as far as his actual life, that's all we know about him. He's never mentioned in the epistles anywhere else. But what an impact he had on the growth of the church and on Christianity. Because he's the one that went to Saul, and it's through Saul, or through Ananias, that Saul gets delivered and receives Holy Spirit. So in verse 12 of chapter 22, and this is Paul recounting, Paul was Saul, right? And Paul is recounting how he got born again. And he says, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. A devout man means he was pious, or he had great reverence for God. And he was lived a life that was reverent or pious towards God. He you know, God was there in his life when it had an effect. He didn't just hold the word held him, right? And he had good report of all the Jews that were there. Now, you know, at this point in time, who were the believers for the most part? They were Jews, right? Because who's the guy that's going to go to the Gentiles? Paul. So he's, and this, of course, is looking back. And he came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, meaning of Jesus Christ. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So here's this guy, Ananias, and he's just a good, solid believer. He's a disciple and he's faithful. And when Jesus Christ appears to him in the vision, he has the heart and the desire to serve. And he has a desire to obey. Now, he doesn't really like the assignment, right? Because he's a little fearful about Saul and what he will do, but he asks and Jesus tells him. So he's a faithful guy. Now I want you to go to 1 Kings. So many times throughout the Bible, God calls these people, and it's kind of unexpected, and they're not necessarily what you would think he would call. So we're going to go to 1 Kings in chapter 19. Chapter 19, and we're going to look at verse 15. And this is about Elijah, and it's after he has done the whole thing on Mount Carmel and killed all the prophets of Baal, and he goes off by himself, and, you know, God shows him all these different things, and And so then in verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Mehuelah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay," and so on and so forth. "Yet have I left 7,000 in Israel, all knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." So he, Elijah, departed and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So here's this guy, he's a farmer, right? And he lives, you know, at home, because that was pretty much the culture. And, you know, sons would be raised up and they would do what their father did. And so his father was a farmer, and he's got oxen and he's plowing the field. And Elijah comes along and takes his mantle, you know, the thing that they carry over their shoulders, and he throws on Elisha. And he left the oxen, Elisha, and ran after Elijah. And he said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then will I follow thee." And he said, "Go unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people. They did eat. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. So he went after Elijah. You know, he's there. He's minding his own business. He's not trained in any way other than, you know, the training that sons would receive in Israel. They would be taught the law. They would observe the feast days. They would, you know, do all those things. They were a fairly literate society because they were supposed to be able to read the law. They were supposed to know the Word of God. But he wasn't trained to be a prophet. He was just trained to be a farmer. And then Elijah comes along, throws his mantle on him, and he knew what that meant. And he was willing. His heart was willing because he was being called of God. Just an average guy. So he follows him and he ministers unto him. What does that mean? It means he served him. He served him. He became like a servant to Elijah, right? He was his companion. He followed him and did what he said. Now let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 1. And verse 1, it says, "Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in the upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick, and he sent messengers and said unto them, Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease." Ahaziah was a son of Ahab. "But the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, It is not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, Why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, unto Ahaziah, There came a man up to meet us and said unto us, Go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you? And he told you these words. And they answered, he was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. You could tell by the way he was dressed and his hair. So then the king said unto a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed his 50. It's pretty quick work, huh? Again, also he sent unto him, the king sent another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered him and said unto him, O man of God, thus the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Wow. If I was in that army, I would desert. And he sent again a captain of a third 50, and with his 50, and the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell upon his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Mm-hmm. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. So that guy was pretty smart.
Yeah.
You know, he asked for mercy. He knew that he was the man of God. He recognized him. He didn't ask him for anything. He just said, you know, cut me a break here. I saw what you did to these other guys. So, you know, it's pretty wild what happened. So he did according to the word of the Lord, and Elijah had spoken, and Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, and so on, and Ahaziah died. Then it says in verse 2, chapter 2, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Sons of the prophets were guys that apparently were being trained to be prophets also. Elisha didn't get that training, did he? Just Elijah put his mantle on him and he followed. He just was willing to do that. So, let's see, where are we?
Six.
And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. You know, Elisha's by his side when he did all those things, killing those armies, '50s and '50s. Who was with him? Elisha. Elisha was by his side all this time. He's learning by watching. And Elisha took his mantle, verse 7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So at this point, he doesn't, as we far as we know, have spirit upon him. But when Elijah says, what would you like? He says, well, I want double what you got, because I've seen all the stuff that you're doing. Verse 10, and he, Elijah, said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Oh, this is a difficult request. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took also up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he was also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So here's this guy, and he's a farmer, and he's just plowing the ground, and Elisha, by revelation, comes and chooses him to be a prophet like he is. And so then he follows, and he ministers to Elijah, and then he becomes a prophet. Let's go back to Acts again, chapter 6. Got one more. Acts chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 1. And in those days when the number of disciples... Oh, by the way, Elijah, it says that the chariots of fire took him away. It says into heaven. But heaven means in the sky, right? Technically. But he didn't die and go to heaven forever, because we know from 1 Corinthians it says that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of them that have died, be alive again. And there's another place in Chronicles where it talks about Elijah writing a letter later on. So he didn't die then, but I mean, eventually, shortly thereafter, I guess he did die at some point, but he had, you know, had enough, kind of. He had asked God, you know, I'm really done. And so God provided somebody to take over for him. So Acts chapter 6 says, and in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Okay, Grecians are more accurately Hellenists. They were Jews that had, they lived in Israel, but they really preferred the Greek culture way of life. You know, they spoke Greek and that kind of stuff. And they had a they had a dispute with the guys that were Hebrew, the guys that spoke Aramaic and really stuck closely to the culture of Israel, about the ministering or the taking care of the Jews in the daily service. And when the 12 apostles called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. The church had grown tremendously, and they didn't have an organization or a system set up like in the temple with the Levites and the priests, you know, where they would provide, you know, for the poor and stuff like that to a degree. Of course, we know the Pharisees and the priests didn't do a whole lot for people because they were, you know, they were corrupt. But so these guys, the apostles, were attempting to do this. So, you know, it said in the beginning of Acts, when the people got born again, they sold their pluralities. They sold things they didn't need, or they gave things they didn't need for the other people. So if you had, you know, an extra horse, or you had extra food, or you had an extra house or whatever, you gave it to the believers that needed it. So, but they also would make collections. People would, you know, lay things at the apostles' feet, and then they would take, or they were trying to take care of the widows and the poor and the, you know, maybe the homeless or the people without families who had gotten born again and were part of the fellowship. And he said, this is getting overwhelming for us. We're supposed to be teaching the word of God. We don't have time to do all this. So they said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. And here that just simply means the word Holy Spirit here does not mean that they already had spirit because they're born again, but that they had that word of God in them, that word that came from God, and that they were wise in their applying it. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude that they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. So these guys were just seven guys. They were just, you know, believers. They were faithful in the fellowship, and the apostles said, we need people to help with the administration, the service of helping people and blessing people. So they chose these seven guys, and these guys threw themselves into it wholeheartedly. Then it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So we know who he was, right? To serve tables meant to minister or serve in any category that was necessary. And that's what these guys were willing to do. It's like, you know, if we have a meeting and people say, oh, you know, we ask for volunteers and say, oh, I'll come and help set up, or I'll help do the refreshments, or I'll, you know, when we do our little camp in October, and everybody will chip in and try to help some way or another. That's the way these guys were. And this guy, Stephen, it says that he did great wonders and signs, miracles. He did supernatural stuff, right? And it goes on and tells the story of Stephen, how these guys grab him and he witnesses a great witness, but he gets stoned and he dies. But let's go to chapter 8, because there was another guy there that was also spoken of, and his name was Philip. And it says in chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his... This is the same guy, Saul, we read about in chapter 10 that got witnessed to later on, but he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Paul, he made havoc of the church. Paul. He made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip, one of those seven guys that was chosen to serve tables, to just do whatever the church required, whatever was needed. He went down to Samaria, the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many, and many were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Great joy. Well, I guess there would be, right? But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Well, they called him that, but he did what? He bewitched them. He bewitched them. And to him they had regard, because that a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So again, here's this guy, Philip. And what is he? He's just a great young man. He goes to fellowship. He's received the word. He's blessed. He does whatever he's asked. He's willing to do whatever is asked to bless the body of Christ. And so we're going to go to verse 26, because what else happened? So, you know, Samaria, the city in Samaria, is taken care of. And these people are healed, and the apostles come down and they make sure these people are speaking in tongues and everything. And it says in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Today we call it the Gaza Strip, and it's that strip of desert between Israel and Egypt. Still around, and they still have problems there. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, this is kind of interesting, because this guy was important, right? And he's in a chariot. He wouldn't have been by himself. He would have been with what we would call an entourage. He would have had people that served him. He would have had servants. He would have had people to guard him for security, whatever, you know, and he wouldn't have been alone, because people didn't travel alone in those days, and certainly somebody of importance especially. And yet when Philip is told to go join himself to the guy, nobody stops him, which is pretty interesting. He says, understandest what thou readeth? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. The place of scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Verse 32, right? And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, this is the only place in Acts where somebody asks to be water baptized. Verse 37 is omitted in most of the text, but we'll read it anyway. It is in a couple of texts. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now this guy Philip, later on, he doesn't really show up, but when Paul is going back to Jerusalem, and everybody's saying, don't go back, Paul, don't go back. It says that there were seven daughters of the evangelist Philip, and they prophesied. So he had daughters, so eventually he got married, and that's years later, of course, but it calls him Philip the evangelist. And so he was quite a guy. But again, how did he start out? He was a server of tables. He was just a guy. But all these people had one thing in common. They all had a heart and a desire to serve God. And they were meek and obedient when God called them. Some of them went on to be, ministers, prophets, and evangelists. And then there was Ananias, and that was his one time. But what a great effect that had on the church. Now, Philip, that eunuch, went back to Ethiopia, and Ethiopia today still has a Christian church, which is considered one of the oldest continually running churches in the world, Christian churches, and they have, all kinds of old manuscripts and copies of manuscripts and things like that. But that church survived because of that eunuch. He went down back to Ethiopia and spoke the word, and people got born again there. So it's pretty great. But see, God only has who to deal with. Who does he have to talk to?
Us.
Just us, just normal people. But when you're willing and meek to listen to God, no matter what your training, no matter where you come from, no matter what you do in life, if you're willing and meek to serve in any capacity, because, Elisha, I'm sure when he left, didn't necessarily think he was going to be a prophet. I'm sure Elijah told him along the way, but when he first threw his mantle on him, he didn't really have a clue. When those seven guys got called to serve on tables, they didn't know what God would ask them to do, right? And that's the way it is. We never know what God's going to ask us to do, but if we're meek and humble, then we have opportunities to see great things happen. And, if he just asks you to serve tables, he'll bless you for it, and it'll be great. If he asks you to do something else, well, that'll be great too. But you have to be meek and humble and willing to go and do. And that's where God gets all the people. Moses, what did he do? He was trained as a prince, but he left as a fugitive and became a shepherd. David was a shepherd, right? What was Abraham? He was just a guy, and God said, I want you to leave and go somewhere, and he just left. And just did what God told him, and he lived as a nomad for years and years and years. So it's not the training you have. It's not the family you come from. It's not anything but a willingness to love God, and when he calls you to do something, you do it. So,
you're called many noble.
Yeah. So God always, it's an ordinary people, but ordinary people do extraordinary things when they're willing to listen to God. So, Father God, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for calling us, and we thank you for the opportunities we have to serve you and love you. And we just never know the impact that our lives will have on other people and cultures and generations and nations and whatever else, because we never know who we're speaking the word to next, and or who's going to believe and what they're going to do, or what we're going to do, for that matter. So we just thank you, Father, for allowing us to be your children and to be our best for you every day, and that we can be meek and humble to receive from you and do as you would have us to do. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.